And welcome back to episode 155 of the Weekly Tech Wrap with me, Jay.
And me, Carl.
And the first episode of 2024.
It is.
Though I have spent the last couple of days writing down the date as slash 23 as opposed to 24. Because, you know, it just old habits die hard. Well, we are back, and as promised, our first proper show of the year. And this week, it's all about AI.
Yep.
Definitely AI. All about AI. AI, crypto, and a camera.
Yeah, some more AI.
Oh, yeah. Some more AI, yeah.
That'll be in the camera, I'm sure.
I'm sure it will be. So we are going to talk this week mainly around the latest updates from an AI perspective. We're going to talk about a little bit about SBF, old Sam Bankman-Fried, you may recall, you know, him of Alameda Research. That was his other company that he got done for.
Well, he was part of that. But,
he was. FTX, I should say. And we're also going to talk CES, as promised, some of the previews of what's coming up, as well as the TechRant Rumour Mill. This week, actually, half the show is TechRant Rumour Mill, isn't it, really, this week?
There's a large bit. Obviously, CES kicks off today, but obviously a lot of stuff won't be announced till next week. So we've got some rumours and ideas of what's going to be announced.
They have indeed, isn't it? So let's kick off the first thing this week, which is the release from Microsoft of their new Copilot application, which is available on iOS and iPad devices, isn't it? So Copilot is effectively what was called Bing Chat, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But it's now kind of broken out into its own app. And
yeah, so it's separate from Bing. You don't need Bing Search. It's just a dedicated Copilot app, isn't it? So you can do your talking to it, can't you? You get it to go research stuff. You can get it to generate images as well using DALL-E, isn't it?
It is DALL-E 3, yep.
And you can even choose between GPT 3.5 and 4 if you want a beefier model.
See, what I want to know is what makes this different from ChatGPT 4 that you're paying for with OpenAI. Now, I do pay for OpenAI at disclaimer.
$20 a month cheaper or whatever it is.
Yeah, and I guess the only difference is I get access to all of the GPTs as well, the separate ones. Yeah. Where, so coming soon, OpenAI are going to be making the store available to the public.
Okay.
So you can publish your own GPTs on there that you've been creating. So I guess that's one of the things. And also, I was able to make my own GPT, wasn't I? Do you remember I talked about that before?
You were, yeah.
Which is good, but, you know, it needs some work. But really, this gives you all of that benefit without the cost, doesn't it?
In the app, and obviously it's iOS. So if you've got Apple Mac with using Apple Silicon, you can just download the app as well and actually have a dedicated app on your Mac.
And do you know what I did earlier today?
Did you do just that?
I haven't used it, but I have got it installed.
Ah, so, yeah, the benefits of the Apple ecosystem with the same silicon all around.
It is. Now, what I will say is there's a caveat to that, is that not all apps are, optimized for the Mac experience, you know. Now, this one isn't too bad. It does look slightly bigger. It's designed, obviously, for
a touch input,
you know. So the opens up on your screen. Being at Microsoft, though, is a bit more. It isn't like some of the apps that jumps up and it's like, oh my God, what the hell is this? It looks like it was Fisher-Price made. It is a little bit more optimized in the sense of text, but it is still quite a lot of screen. What it looks like is it gives you some ideas to get started. Give me a joke that's funny, create a table that compares shoes, blah, blah, blah. And it says, hi, this is Bing. And it says, I use AI to provide you with web searches and you can then ask it questions. So it's pretty good. You don't have to sign in, though, interestingly, to use it.
No, you don't. Oh, yes, I've got my adequate look, but no, it probably signed me in automatically because I have the other Microsoft apps thinking about it on my phone that are already signed in. So it might well have done.
Yeah, but on the Mac, it didn't. So that's still interesting. So I did ask it, what makes you different?
It has automatically signed me in. I've just opened up. Yeah, I'm automatically signed in because I'm already signed into the other Microsoft apps.
Oh, that would make sense, yeah. So I've said to it, what makes you different from the OpenAI chat app? And it's thinking about it. And it says, searching for differences between Bing Chat and OpenAI Chat. So even though it's called Copilot, it still refers to itself as Bing Chat.
So you've got an identity crisis.
Yeah, excuse me. And it says, Bing Chat and OpenAI, both powered, blah, blah, blah. The differences it reckons are, Bing Chat's powered by a testing version of GPT model. Now, the caveat here, of course, is it's pulled this information from the web. So this may not be 100% up to date at the minute.
Yeah.
And it says the OpenAI chat app uses GPT-3 model, well, that's not technically true, is it? And it goes on and says things like Bing Chat is tuned for search and integration with apps. So give us again some of the back end model that Microsoft have been tuning on this particular version of it. So yeah, I'll get to use it some more. It does look pretty good.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, and one thing you won't be getting on your phone or your iPad or your Mac is a dedicated Copilot key on your Windows keyboard.
No, this was pretty impressive, isn't it? Because this is the first time in, what, 30 years there's been a change to...
Oh, yeah, we got the Windows key, didn't we? Was that with Windows 95? Must have been.
I think it was, wasn't it? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we got the dedicated Windows key. It's been sat home on the left-hand side, just next to Control or between Control and Alt for, well, 30 years. So, yeah, we're now getting a dedicated Copilot one on the other side. I think it's replacing the old... is it menu key next to Control?
Yeah, and the Windows key traditionally powered the start menu, didn't it? You pop that, the start menu popped up. But now, given the way that Windows 11 looks, start menu doesn't really exist, does it, in the same form and shape? So, and the way, if you think of how Mac works, a Mac, I can press Command Space and start typing for anything. And Windows 11 has that similar functionality, doesn't it, when you press that button? So it's probably a natural move to use the Copilot integration to do those searches which are local and external to pull up apps and documents and things. But yeah, pretty cool.
But of course, if you don't obviously have Copilot in your area, it's not rolled out everywhere, is it?
No.
When you press Windows that key, I think you just get the Windows 11 search when you press that key instead. Obviously, if you do have it in your area, you'll get the Copilot sidebar whiz out and then start typing.
Yeah. So, the kind of way to do. I mean, I can see why they're doing this because it'll have integration with all of the ecosystem, won't it? Well, you'd like to think. So I'm guessing in the background, it should be able to talk to Outlook if you've got there. It should be able to
so far is it's just the Copilot sidebar, which is speaking to Bing Search. It's not integrating with your internal stuff.
No,
that's true.
I'd like to think, though, at some point that it should do that, it should have integration with the app, because that's all you want, isn't it? You want the ability to search in there.
I want to ask questions about my data sources.
Yes. Or get it to things like, I've got a doctor's appointment, 3 o'clock Tuesday. Add that to my calendar.
My calendar, my emails, possibly my messaging, all my files and documents.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. You know, I think
that would be great.
That would be really great. So we're going to be seeing this on new hardware coming soon, aren't we, from the spring, I believe.
Starting later this month, OEM partners, and of course the next batch of Surface devices will all have it on as well.
Yeah. So everything has to evolve. And the Windows key, it's been good to know you, to use you. But now it is time for us to fly with our Copilot.
Well, you're having both keys, so it's not going away.
Well, it's not going away, but are you going to use... Why would you use a Windows key if you've got a Copilot
key? All the time. I use the keyboard to navigate most of my things, and it's all done by the Windows key.
Yeah, but given that this will do is very similar, I can see... It'll take a long...
launch apps, not for another year or so.
Muscle memory is the other problem, though, isn't it? And I mean, like I say, obviously I drive a Mac these days, but, command key is a Windows key, and everything is just... Everything's command something, Windows something, isn't it? It's muscle memory. You get used to it.
Indeed. Oh, right. Next up, someone not happy with AI. The New York Times is suing OpenAI and Microsoft for copyright infringement, aren't they? Claiming their AI models were trained using millions of New York Times articles without permission.
Yep. And they argue, they're arguing that this is threatening, according to them, high quality journalism, isn't it? In their outputs.
It is. Yeah, so they're basically alleging that ChatGPT and Copilot can generate verbatim Times content, closely summarizing it and mimicking its style, undermining Times' relationship with its readers and, more importantly, its revenue.
So there was the way this came about, wasn't it, was after there were some examples published of a New York Times article and then a similar GPT-produced article, wasn't it? And it was almost word for word exactly, wasn't it? You had to look closely to see what the differences were in that. So the argument is that, as you say, New York Times are saying that along with other news sources, OpenAI have been training a model on it. Which, let's be honest, though, of course they're going to be doing it. It's sucking up the internet, isn't it? Really?
Yeah, it's open to the public. I've just gone there now, and it hasn't asked me to sign in, and I'm not even in America for a start, so. But no, I can access the documents. I mean, the other, that comparison about the New York Times article and the one from OpenAI, the argument could be made that maybe they use OpenAI to actually generate the article.
Prove it.
Putting that out there, you know what I mean? It could work both ways.
It could work both ways, doesn't it? So what we're seeing now, though, is obviously New York Times is suing both companies and Microsoft as well, because they're arguing that Microsoft is party to this because they have their co-pilot, which we've just talked about, aka Bing Chat. And obviously they are a major shareholder in OpenAI.
Yeah.
And they're saying that both of those large language models, which power both of those sources, have done the same scraping. Now, what was interesting, as I said, though, is that New York Times, along with several other news companies, have put in place blockers, haven't they, to stop the OpenAI crawler. So apparently, according to this, BBC, CNN and Reuters have all implemented similar data scraping capabilities from their site. But in the same sentence, the BBC themselves have said that they are open to AI-powered journalism. So I guess it's on their terms, isn't it, more than anything else?
Yeah, well, that's it. The Times apparently has unsuccessfully attempted to negotiate for months to kind of ensure that what they perceive as fair value for the use of its contents. But clearly they haven't got anywhere, so they're now suing for billions in damages. And yeah, and also just to put a stop on that training on using its data.
Yeah, so the BBC kind of was kind of a related part of it. They were saying that they are going to start using Gen AI to generate content.
Yeah.
And I can kind of see how you do it. I mean, because I tell you what I came across the other day, and I suppose I hadn't noticed it, was if you go to Amazon now, and you look at a product on Amazon, and you go down to reviews,
the
first review is a Gen AI review.
Oh, yeah, it tells you what customers have liked or not liked about the product, doesn't
it? Yeah.
It kind of summarize and condense about what they do like, don't like, etc.
Yeah, and it clearly states, it says customers like ease of use, blah, blah, blah. They mention this, they mention that. However, and it does say, though, not totally negative, but it says, for example, on this custom one I've just looked up, some customers differ on quality. And it states AI generated from the text of reviews. And it gives you a tick box, a green of something that's good and grey for something that's not good.
I hadn't realised it was, or I hadn't read that it was AI generated. I presumed it was based on what I'd read, but I obviously missed the blurb that says it was.
So you've got that now. So, you know, the same with journalism. If you were to think of a large language model that could scrape different sources, particularly social media, there's no reason why it couldn't generate basic articles. I'm not talking about the high quality, well-researched. I'm talking about, you know, breaking news. I don't know, elephant falls off a cliff, you know what I mean? But something that basically can just give you the snapshot of what's happened.
It's a more factual report. As opposed to
and then obviously the human journalist can come along and start to qualify and provide extra context to the story. But you know, this is it. As I was saying to somebody the other day, we are on the cusp of a revolution here, and we are on movement in that, and AI is not going to displace everybody's jobs. It's not the same way there are people still farming. Yep, but when the plow and the tractor came along and replaced the horse, farmers didn't go out of business, did they, overnight? You know, people are still having to do their machine jobs
and did it themselves like 10 times quicker.
Yeah, you know, there are jobs today that didn't exist 30 years ago. Is it? You know, and there are and the same thing will happen in the next 5-10 years. There are jobs that will exist then that do not exist today. And I think AI will be doing that. And so I think we talked about this before, didn't we?
About making your life easier, isn't it? I mean, a heads up, and I haven't told Jay this. I mean, today my notes, all my summaries have been generated by AI. So I mentioned to you I'd signed up to that paid search service.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but part of that is they've got an AI chatbot. Fast
GPT. No.
They've also got an AI summarizer, which I tried using OpenAI to kind of just feed it an article, you know, paste it in, give me a summary of the bullet points, the highlight bit, talking points, you know. But I never really got a great response out of OpenAI for that. Whereas this one, I can just do it even from a search result. I can just say, summarize this web page. And it's actually given me some really good ones. I mean, I've double checked them to start off with to see how accurate they are, and they're pretty spot on. Found one or two mistakes, but it kind of summarized it nicely into like 7 or 8 bullet points of what to talk about.
There's another really good tool out there, and again, no sponsorship or anything, is called Notion.
I keep looking at that. I'm tempted.
And I've heard some really good things about it. And they do not the search capability, which you've been talking about, but they also do the AI powered note generation and summary things. So, you're right. A lot of these tools are there. You know, they are existing. It's just
that actually saved me a load of time this morning writing my notes for the podcast. Sometimes it'll take me about an hour and a half. I've done in 15 minutes.
But yeah, because then, like you say, you get the real talking points. You can add some flavor and color to that if you want to.
Exactly. But,
you know, it's there. So
I don't have to read the whole thing and go, right, well, what do I need to actually surface out this article to talk about? I just, run it through that. 15 minutes tops, I've done all the articles today. So I think probably in another episode, we'll talk about my experience with this paid for search engine because it's been quite positive so far. So maybe we'll do a 5 minutes on that.
No, I'd be interested to hear how you're getting on with that. I mean, I know it's early days, like you say, but
I suspect I'll be paying again next month. I've been really impressed so far.
No, interesting. I have to say, given what we talked about the other day offline, it'd be good to know. I was going to say about the AI summary tools. I mean, why not use them? They're exactly there. That's why would you not want to leverage,
Yeah, a tool just for making my life easier and quicker.
Yeah, exactly. I'm all for it. You know my views on ChatGPT and other tools. Yeah. It is the way forward. And I was going to say something about the summarization, but that was it. Talking of AI articles, you remember I've been saying, I sent you a couple of them already, those ones that keep popping up in Google that seem to be written. So this is particular, I'm not going to name the site, but they keep popping up in my Google feed, don't they? They appear to be completely AI generated articles, don't they? But on like particularly, I've obviously searched for like model aeroplanes or scale modeling.
They're weird articles. It's kind of like that uncanny valley kind of effect. You know something's wrong, but can't quite put your finger on it.
Yeah. And the weird thing about it is I can't work out what it is. And you know, they don't look right. The product, the things that they are, what's the word?
Referencing. Talking about,
don't exist.
Yeah. No, it's very, very weird.
Yeah. And I can't work it out. I cannot work it out at all. It's a very, very peculiar, very peculiar way of doing it. But anyway, I digress. Anyway.
So we were just talking about tools for saving time. Someone that's going to have all the time in the world soon is our friend SBF, isn't he?
Oh, yes, he is, isn't he? Yes. He's waiting for his sentencing, isn't he, at the minute? So, But whilst he's waiting for sentencing, he'll be pleased to know that there isn't going to be another trial.
No.
So there was... So the US prosecutors have decided not to go ahead with a second trial of the now convicted and, as you mentioned, imprisoned SBF, which was apparently due to a letter that was filed in the Southern District of New York at the end of December this year. So this was around an eighth charge related to a conspiracy to make unlawful campaign contributions, wasn't it?
But the long
and short of it. However, they've decided that the fact of it would take too long to go through with the process, and there would also be apparently with some renegotiation, wouldn't there, around the terms of his extradition from the Bahamas. They've decided not to go ahead with it. So
exactly.
I'm sure he'll be very happy about that.
He will. I mean, because they're looking to do the actual sentencing in March this year, aren't they? I mean, he's already found guilty of 7 convictions, didn't he, including securities fraud, money laundering, which all carry a maximum sentence of 110 years. So there's no need to add one more to that, is there? So they just kind of viewed that going down this route would take even longer to get to the actual sentence and conviction part of it. So we'll find out in March how long a prison he gets. I believe he's also going to have to kind of do forfeiture, isn't he, and restitution for victims of his crimes. So we'll see what the judge comes down with on that.
I think he's going away for a long time.
I mean, don't be saying 110 years, but he's going away for a little while.
I would say they're going to want to make an example of him, but I can't see
40 years and out in 20 for good behavior.
Probably, yeah. I mean, what's he in his 30s? So it's more than likely that it's possible.
Plus a lot of money to pay back.
But where's he going to get the money from?
Well, it's all hidden in the Bahamas, isn't it?
What, in a hole?
In a, probably. As good a place as any. It was safer than cryptocurrency.
I tell you what, though, is interesting, which recently has come to light, is that Almeida Research also led the, or him particularly, Bankman-Fried, led the Series B funding for Anthropic, who are the main competitor for OpenAI. What are you saying? So they, there was a $580 million Series B funding round for Anthropic, and he led the go there. And apparently, he had been pumping a lot of money into AI. They apparently pledged the FTX, his FTX Future Fund, a philanthropic institution that he backed, pledged $160 million to causes included AI research, AI safety research. Now, they had pledged to give away $1 billion. Now, ask yourself where that's come from. But they did provide funding into Anthropic. So, you know, talk about close to the nail here on, you know, what we're talking about with AI.
Indeed.
Yeah, yeah. It is a very close-knit community, isn't it? Don't you think?
Yeah, it is.
So FBF then will be very pleased. He won't be getting additional sentencing, but yeah, we won't be seeing him anytime soon. But once we get the information on the sentencing, we'll come back and update you on that story. So then, this week, as you mentioned, is CES, which is the consumer.
Off this morning, or
it is.
Yep, this afternoon our time. This morning US time.
Yeah, and isn't it the public? Isn't it public from the 9th or something? Isn't it next week?
Yeah, Monday. Is it public? Yeah.
Yeah. So this is the Consumer Electronics Show, which is held in Las Vegas, of all places, in the Las Vegas Convention Center. And you know, last year was the first. Well, last couple. Well, 22 was a quiet year, but last year was a proper big post-COVID year, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah.
The slow start. So again, you know, unsurprisingly, AI is going to be the topic of probably everybody, and if you haven't got AI in your marketing pitch, you're probably doing it wrong this year, aren't you?
Yeah. Go home. There's no point turning up. But yeah, you're right. It is AI. And if it's not AI, it's related to AI. So I mean, we've even got, I think some of the first rumors are that Nvidia is going to be announcing their super variants of the RTX 40 series, aren't they? So 4070 Ti Super, 4070 Super, all that kind of stuff. But again, very good at processing AI. What else have we got? Intel going to showcase new Meteor Lake chips and laptops and CES with built-in AI chip capabilities. So AMD, I know we spoke about it before. They released their FSR3, didn't they? There's going to be new versions of that coming out with better AI upscaling. They're releasing a new Hawk Point laptop chip, again, with its own AI chip on board. So it's just all in on that, isn't it?
It will be. And, I, you know, we'll get inside that, the usual mix of health applications and hardware. There'll probably be a lot around the mobility piece as well. So, you know, connected cars, probably any electric car updates as well. Now, typically, there have been in the past large manufacturers turn up. Now, this year, we're not entirely sure, but it is probably more than likely that one or two of the big manufacturers will turn up with the latest prototypes, again, in conjunction with probably one of the chip makers. Sometimes Qualcomm, Intel have done that in the past as well.
Qualcomm's the one I'm looking forward to. So apparently they're going to be demonstrating their new Snapdragon X Elite, which is the M123 whatever version competitor. So it's a ARM for x86 chips or desktop.
So this is the year of the ARM desktop then, yeah?
It is. But also, and this is the one I picked up literally an hour before the show, so I apologize, I haven't put it in the notes. They're also going to be announcing their XR2 Plus chip for VR headsets, which is apparently a major upgrade aimed at competing with Vision Pro. And the first headset user that's going to be announced on Monday.
Ooh, sounds interesting. So
I'll be interested, hopefully we'll get a bit more information on that and talk about it in next week's show. But, yes, it's going to be a high-end chip, but I think quite a lot of the Vision Pro is also the software. So we'll see what a competitor does there.
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? That you're right. The whole experience isn't just the headset, is it? It's going to be, for Vision Pros, as we've talked about before, it's about what it brings to the ecosystem. And particularly for Apple, it's about having that experience of the apps that you get on the phone and you get on the iPad, isn't it? Or if you're working on a Mac, the ability to have your desktop extended, isn't it, to the Mac? So, yeah, I don't know. I think they've got to go a bit further here, haven't they?
I think the extending the desktop, that's an easy thing to do. You can do that. I can do that with Quest 2 now in Windows. It's not really a problem. I don't have AR, obviously. I'm purely VR being a Quest 2, but for Quest 3 with AR, I think you can do the same there. Whether it's as good as Apple's, I don't know. No one really knows because it's not released yet, but hopefully next month.
Well, this is it. We're still waiting from that point, aren't we, from the release of that?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the other thing we'll see at CES, as we always do again, is a lot of home stuff. As you know, clues in the name of consumer electronics, there'll be a lot of things around, probably AI-powered fridges. I bet you we get some kind of upgraded AI, robot vacuum cleaners as well.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be all of that as well.
TVs. Lots of monitors and TVs, weren't there? Yeah.
I was just going to say, TVs are the usual thing. LG is a massive player in CES. We've seen them release absolutely humongous TVs before. Was it last year they released? Was it the 98-inch one last year? I can't remember. It might be the year before.
But I think more interesting, TCL are bringing out low-cost OLED panels.
But TCL do a lot here, don't they? They really do pump out some decent TVs.
I saw a review on it. It was a China-only one, 115-inch TV. I'm sure that was TCL that did it. And it was stunning. China only though, because it had to be professionally installed, but looked amazing. But it was I think it was 11 grand, which is a lot of money. But when you start to get to those huge sizes, they go exponentially. I think some Samsungs have been 30-40 grand, so it was very cheap for the size.
That's not what I thought. I mean, I said TCL makes some good screens. I've got one in our dining room. You know, it's not the family TV. It's the family TV, if that makes sense. You know, it's not the main living room TV, which is, you know, all singing or dancing. It's just there for the kids to watch what they want to watch.
Display.
Do you know what? It's not a bad picture. All it does is streaming sources. It's not plugged into anything else. But you could put in the Xbox if you wanted to, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's a nice screen. And I can't really fault it, to be fair.
Yeah, so, I mean, if they can bring OLED down to a average consumer kind of pricing and still get all that benefit, it's not too much of a trade-off. That could be a big win.
So there is who's the other one? Hisense, they kind of budget TVs.
I bought several of those recently for the kids' bedrooms.
You have. So Hisense are touting apparently the Hisense 110 UX, which is due to be demoed at CES, which is an ultra bright 110-inch TV.
Wow.
Which apparently, according to them, you're going to wait for this, claims to meet 10,000 nit.
Wow. Yeah, that TCL one, I can't remember what it was. It was very, very bright, apparently. Because, the person I was watching, he'd originally built a cinema room and installed a 4K projector, but had this in for testing and was like, the projector's gone. I'm keeping the screen.
So, wow.
Yeah.
Well, we will next week's show, we'll be able to give you more of the updates of what's been dropped. There's also a Sony have got a press conference on the 8th of Jan as well, where the rumored there'll be new E-mount cameras. So we will bring you all the latest and greatest headlines and announcements next week. I think, it's going to be a good show by the sound of it, isn't it? It's going to be lots of new tech. But yeah, if you're not doing AI, you're doing it wrong, clearly. So talking then of AI or powering, I guess what powers AI is, you need a decent CPU, don't you, really? Even in the gaming world these days, you need a decent CPU. And Intel, of course, are plowing ahead with their Meteor Lake releases. And we have now the, i9-14900KS, isn't it? Which has hit a phenomenal speed. Absolutely bonkers in my mind. But what is it? And tell us all about it.
Yeah, so this is their, KS is their overclockable one, isn't it? So
it is.
This is the replacement to the 13900KS, and it will allegedly boost up to 6.2 gigahertz, making it the first factory CPU over 6 gigahertz.
It's crazy, because before, to get to that kind of speed, you would have had to have done some super cooling. You'd have had people...
I think you still do need to do that with Intel's high-end ones. Well, they do pull a lot of watts. They're not energy efficient, are they? So,
Well, no, there is that. But I was thinking, you get people these nitrogen-cooled ones. You get kind of super water-cooled, all that kind of stuff, isn't it? So to get to factory without having to do some fancy voltage overclocking, all kinds of stuff, or was it de-lidding it, isn't it? That's the other one, isn't it?
Yes.
This is quite... in my view, quite amazing speeds. I mean, I'm not sure what I need 6.2 gigahertz for, But and like you say, how hot does that run? And how what's the TDP on it?
And I bet that's not all core either. That'll be like a handful of cores.
Yeah. No. Right. So we've had some pictures that we posted on the Chinese meshing platform QQ, which is showing the chip inside a motherboard. Now, some information has been obscured, so we can't, you know, the it isn't verified whether or not it's real. But it does look like, sorry, it's not Meteor Lake, Raptor Lake, excuse me. My apologies. It does look like an existing Raptor Lake chip, but, you know, that's crazy. I mean, I have to say, the 13 series that I've got for my gaming PC, the i5 is a phenomenal CPU. There's just, I know if you need high end, you need high end, but the i5s are certainly very good chips.
I'm in that dilemma now. Really, mine's still with the first generation decent Ryzen ones. I've got what, a 3900X? I could do with an upgrade, but if I go to the brand new ones, it's a whole new motherboard and RAM. And I'm like, it's an expensive proposition. So I might do the middle ground and just get the 5000 series CPU off eBay secondhand for like £200, and it'll buy me some time.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Because let's say if you have this 6 gig, what are you going to run with it? Because, you know, nothing's going to be multi-threading at 6 gig, is it?
DCS, you need that single 4.2 as fast as you can.
Yeah, actually, what am I on about? That is right,
new laptop, buy new board time, grab the 6.2 gigahertz chip.
Buy it now, yeah, we need that. Buy it now, definitely. So yeah, 6 gigahertz Intel chip, so very good. And by the way, Intel will be at CES, and they are going to be, apparently, this again, they're all in on the AI conversation out there as well. So I suspect there'll be more announcements from Mr. Gelsinger in the week or so. So then, I haven't dinged the rumor mill bell this week, because I say so much in here is the rumor. I thought it'd be just pointless to do that. In case you're wondering where that was going, but
it would not be a rumor mill without Meeting Quo and Apple rumors, would it?
It would not.
We've got some of those, and we're talking about the iPhone 17 now, aren't we? Not the 16 or the 15.
Where's my 16 gone? You know.
Oh, well, it's a little bit about the 16 in there, so. Quote is saying that the 17 basically we're expecting to get a big upgrade to the front-facing camera. So it's currently a 12 megapixel. We're looking to move to basically double that to 24 megapixel. And some of this has been rumors come out of a company called Genius. So they apparently are going to be supplying the lenses, a new 6-element lens to go on top of that 24 megapixel sensor. That's up from the current 5-element lens. Now, I did not know that they're going to be doing the lenses for the 16, but they're also providing the lenses for the Vision Pro. I'd never even heard of this company. But
no, I haven't. No,
if they're making the lenses for the Vision Pro, they're obviously doing a decent job there, enough to impress Apple.
So how long before Apple buy them?
Probably next week. That'll be the announcement. But so quite a lot of upgrades there. They're saying that the 16s, which we'll should be seeing this September, as we are 2024, we'll be using a new lenses for the 5X periscope lens, again, done by Genius as well. And you're also going to get, how do I see it now? It's a new upgraded back camera as well. Is it 48 megapixel for the wide angle? Or ultra wide angle, sorry.
So that would be quite good, because you do have a resolution loss there.
You do, but that's also playing into the whole 3D stereoscopic
video
recording, isn't it? So you've got two 48 megapixel sensors there side by side. You can do that 3D movie stuff for the Vision Pro headset.
And that's the thing, is what they wanted is people to start taking videos, didn't they, in the stereoscopic, so that you can then play those back through the Vision Pro.
Yeah, well, whenever you buy them. Even if you don't buy one yet, if you're recording in that by default, when you do buy one, or the Vision Non-Pro or whatever, when you get a cheaper version people actually afford, then you've already got the footage recorded.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, given we're off a bit, isn't it? In terms of the release of this, rather than, you know, we haven't got to 16 yet. We're wondering, so there still could be a lot changing here, isn't it? You know.
Well, you know what they're going to have to do, though? Is they're going to have to not only up the storage in the phone, they're going to have to up the free storage in iCloud.
Oh, massively.
How many seconds of video footage at twin 4K are you going to get on your 5 gig of free iCloud allowance?
Yeah, but don't forget. Yeah, but then there's always there's that whole thing with iCloud, isn't it? That when you pull it back down off your phone, it doesn't play it in 4K.
No.
So there's a massive compression rate going on here.
Yeah.
I my view of this is if you start putting bigger cameras on, you have to put bigger storage. There's no argument at all there. You know, it is a counterintuitive element to allow people to take bigger resolution pictures, but don't let them store anywhere. Why would you do that? It's like,
I mean, I would just say stick a bigger SD card in there, but yeah.
Try that. Yeah, go ahead. You let me know how you get on with that, yeah?
So instead of buying a new SD card, I just buy a bigger phone.
Well, that's Apple's logic, isn't it?
It is, and people do it, clearly.
Of course they do. I don't know. I'm all for it. I just want to see it. I mean, given that I've started to think that the 14 is a good phone, but the camera, I don't know. Just I see some of the pictures being taken by the 15s. You can't deny how the camera is better. You just cannot do it.
You're going to get the 16 in September, aren't you? So,
well, yeah, no, I'm not going to go to the 15 at all. I'm not playing that game. But it just you see some of the pictures on it, and you think, yeah, actually, you know what? That telephoto lens is a lot better.
Yeah, but even better on the 16. It'll be worth the wait.
It will definitely be better on the 16. I absolutely agree with you. So yeah, we'll hold fire. Do not worry. Hold fire. Okay then. So talking of Apple then, and our last story of the week. It's a bit of a short show this week, I suppose, because the CES stuff is all rumors as opposed to reality at the minute. Yeah,
exactly.
Is this one? Do you know what? This one shouldn't be a rumor. This one should probably be in the bucket of it's going to happen. So they have a leaker. UX 1122, I can't know if that's how you pronounce it, although it has said that apparently, according to their sources, Apple will release information on a Siri with, oh, I've said it, sorry, she who should not be mentioned, Gen AI capabilities at this year's WWDC. Now, there have been rumors that Apple have been working on a Gen AI version of Siri, haven't they, for some time? Yep. Internally, they've got their own models, according to some other leakers and more reputable sources. And if you, given the experience we have with She Who Should Not Be Mentioned versus the competitive programs, quite frankly, Apple have got a lot of catching up to do here. And Gen AI would be the right way to roll with it. I mean, the example I said to you earlier whilst before we started recording was, you know, my kids were talking to me this morning and they were saying, Dad, you know, we're doing the Chinese zodiac at school. What year is your year of birth, what animal were you? And I couldn't remember, you know. Nope. So I thought, I'll ask You Should Not Be Mentioned, who promptly popped up the information advert on my phone. Didn't talk to me, put it on my phone. Yeah, if I'd have gone to the one from, you know, the bookseller man.
Shopping company, yep.
Yeah, and I'd have asked her, she'd have spat it out straight away.
Exactly. There are certain places where I just get frustrated with Siri, she just gets relegated to the car now.
Though yes, it's the only place.
I have got the shopping book based one in the car too, so I could use that. And I've got a BMW one. I've got all of them in the car, apparently.
Does that buy you books as you're driving along?
Yeah. I heard you wanted to buy this. No, stop, stop.
No, stop.
No. So I could use that, but I mean, I use the Apple one because it's usually I say that, give me directions somewhere, or I call my wife or my son or my daughter, etc. So they're all intrinsically tied to the contacts on my phone.
See, I have to say, I'm exactly the same. She Should Not Be Mentioned is used by me majority in the car only because it's safe to do so, you know, and it makes life easier. My kids use it with their HomePods quite a lot. She Should Not Be Mentioned, play Taylor Swift, play... Yeah. Whatever, play this, play that. By the way, an endorsement does not mean
My son wanted one for Christmas. Oh, was it Christmas? Was his birthday? I can't. Recently, he got one, and I do have the book based one.
He got the mini
in the house, so he got a mini. So we removed the book based one, and I quite often hear him shouting it, repeating again and again the same thing. I don't have to that often on the book-based one, but
no, because She Should Not Be Mentioned. Play, I don't know, so and so. Play pop songs. You'd like Pink Socks? No, I don't want Pink.
The worst one is though, because I use the voice assistants with Home Assistant for home automation.
Yes.
Turn on the lights, dim them, whatever, up the volume.
You want a dim sum?
Of course, it's not dim sum. It's not so easy in the Apple ecosystem there, because if it's not in HomeKit, it doesn't exist, apparently. So he has built, is that HomeBridge? He's got HomeBridge running on a Raspberry Pi to kind of interface with the lights, and It's not great, I'm going to be honest.
It just is, you know, it just needs to work. And I'd love to be able to, and I know I've said this before, I'd love to be able to ask, you know, tell me what time my appointments are today. What time is my doctor's appointment? You know, or create me a quick shopping list. I need these 10 things. But it doesn't work that simply, does it? It just doesn't.
No.
We're not that far off it. And I think with tools like ChatGPT, Copilot, etc., we are much closer to that. I don't want to say utopia assistant, because, you know, we've often said, you know, but we're going to be closer to that assistant that actually allows you to do the things you want to do.
Yeah. I mean, the one that always bugged me, and it has been fixed now, is the fact you can never set multiple timers from she.
No.
But I was on the book-based one, I could set like 20 of them, no problem, one after the other. The Apple one was, no, it just overrid the first one you put in. I'm like, well, that's helpful.
Yeah, it just...
It works right now, eventually, in 2023.
Yeah, it will. I think we will get there, and it's not going to be that far off, given how quickly things have moved. And I think 2023 was the year for breakthrough AI.
Yeah.
In the AI became mainstream, didn't it?
Yes.
And if you think that, you know, ChatGPT and DALL-E and was it Midjourney? Yeah, they've been around for longer than just 23. But I think they became into the public consciousness last year. I think this 2024 is going to be the year of AI, in that we're going to see actually real applications start to be developed and explored.
Yeah.
That will include, like, she should not be mentioned, and similar tools. Personally speaking.
Yep.
So yeah, I look, you know, there's a lot coming. There's a lot coming in this space, and one day, it will work how we want it to. But then, the minute it works how we want it to, it'll become like, you know, Robot Uprising, won't it?
We're all doomed.
We're all doomed, yeah. So yeah, well, I think that's probably a good place for us then to wrap up for today. Like I say, a slightly shorter show, but, you know, hopefully giving you something to think about for the next week or so. We will be back next week. I can't believe it'll be, you know, we're talking like, you know, technically the third week of January, isn't it? Second week of January. So second week of January, we'll be back with the updates from CES, as well as all of the latest tech news for you. Of course, you can find us at techrant.online for all of our show notes information, which I may start creating them with AI as well. You can find us on Twitter. No, it's not really X, at Weekly Tech Rant, where all of the links are there as well. So if you like the show, please share with your friends, tell them about it, leave us a comment if you don't like something. And of course, you can find us on all of the major platforms where you get your podcasts. So with that, I've been Jay.
I've been Carl. Have a good one, all.